In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Who is the greatest? You probably remember as a kid playing with your friends, and you know, that topic likely came up at one time or another. I remember doing that with my cousins, and we'd say, well, who's the smartest? And we'd figure out ways to figure out who the smartest was, or who the strongest was, or who the fastest was. You do that at recess at school. And as you get older, you try to demonstrate it in other ways by having the best car or the best house or the corner office or the vacation home up in Island Park. You know, there's all sorts of different ways that the world considers people to be the greatest. Get your face on the cover of the Rolling Stone or on People magazine, or you get to run for president, you get to all of these things that the world says are great. And so is it any wonder then that the disciples, thinking in a very worldly manner, came and said, which one of us is going to be greatest in the kingdom of God? You know, the apostles argued this among themselves. Which of us is the greatest? And notice that Jesus didn't answer the question. He didn't tell them who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. He told them how to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And it is a way, in a most unworldly way, to be like a child. Childlike, by the way, not childish. To be humble like a child. You know, just think about how children are at their best. Now remember, we can't idolize children because they are touched by original sin. If you ever want proof of original sin, watch toddlers play together. You will have, eventually, proof of original sin. But children at their best, they are open, they are loving, and they don't go around saying, I'm the greatest. You know, you wait until you're about 6 or 7 to say that. With God, things are far different than for the world. And in the parable that our Lord gives of the lost sheep, we see the difference of God. You know, we're not shepherds, so we wouldn't know that. But if you're a shepherd and you have 99 sheep, you have 100 sheep, and one of them goes astray, you do not leave the 99 in search of the one unless you have fellow shepherds to watch your 99 sheep. Otherwise, you may find the sheep, you may not find the sheep, and when you come back, the odds are there's going to be far more missing than just one. You know, it's just playing the numbers game. That's what we do in this world. God doesn't play the numbers game. He doesn't have to, because he is God. And God will go in search of the one. Why? Because it's God's desire that all men should be saved. Now, does that mean that everyone's going to be saved? No. But it means that if someone is not saved, it's not because of God's fault. It's not because God destines anyone for hell. It's because of their own decision. With God, it is different, and we need to learn to see things through God's eyes rather than our own. To stop trying to think of things in political terms or in ideological terms, but really think of things in the order of heaven, in the order of holiness. Because while the other things are important, they are not the most important. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.